Queen's Legal Aid is located in room 400 of McDonald Hall at 128 Union Street in Kingston. We provide legal services to Queen's students and to low-income residents in Kingston and Napanee. We are committed to serving our community with professional, high-quality, and responsive service. Queen's Legal Aid can assist and advocate for eligible students with matters pertaining to landlord-tenant disputes, small claims court matters, some criminal and driving offenses, affidavits and notarizations, student discipline matters, student loan matters, Ontario Disability Support Program appeals, and more. Our services are free of charge to those who qualify. Call 613-533-2102 for more information.
Pro Bono Radio, the first official sports episode. This is CFRC 101.9. We are law students. This is not legal advice, and today we will be talking about if athletes should be treated the same as individuals when they commit crimes, both on the field and off. I'd like to remind you once again that we are law students. This is not legal advice. Let's start.
Sports, law, one show.
And of course, we are Roger, the knuckleball, Austin,
the wizard, White,
and Dan,
the ignorant person who does not know much about sports, but will be here to moderate.
And he's still on the sports episode of Pro Bono Radio. Let's get started, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, guys, so we're going to be talking about sports, and specifically athletes, and if they should be treated the same in a court of justice. And I'd like to start us off, what are your guys' opinions on Ray Rice?
Ray Rice, obviously, a couple months ago, I think we've all seen the video by now, his fiance,
TMZ expose,
dragging her out of an elevator after knocking her out with a punch.
If I recall the video well, he gave her a vicious hook, and mm-hmm. then as she fell, her face made contact with the metal bar in the elevator, and then she was out cold.
A week before their wedding as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they still got married, right?
They did get married.
They went
yeah.
through with it, yeah. So this is obviously something that if a regular everyday person in the street would do, police would be reprimanding them. He'd be in cuffs right now. He'd be in probably a jail cell waiting on bail. He would probably not be getting married and probably still going on the field, right?
Right. And really all that happened was that his privilege of playing football was taken away, and the Ravens didn't even want to do that.
Well, yeah, it was controversial. I mean, the NFL itself was in a real mysterious position when they were saying they had not seen the video. They suspended him, I think, for 2 games, as a result of which I drafted him to my fantasy football team. So I'm particularly aggravated by Mr. Rice. Do not appreciate you taking points off.
You're a secondary victim of the violence that occurred.
Yeah. It hurts, man. I barely lost this week. It's not feeling good.
Obviously, Ray Rice's fiance was hurt, but Roger was hurt as well, and we need to keep that in mind.
Oh, obviously.
I'll take the silver medal in damage here.
But on a more serious note, didn't the team put out a public thing? They made it so that you could return the jerseys, I think they said. They could do an exchange policy. Was that the same person?
This was after like it had blown out of proportion, right?
So the day after he was released, the Ravens pulled all his
merchandise
off the shelves and announced an exchange program where you could exchange a Ray Rice jersey for another jersey.
Though I remember seeing a lot of fans defiantly still wearing his jersey, including female fans.
Wow.
And that goes to show that this whole issue of sports law and how we idealize athletes creates this cloudy area of discussion.
And one last thing, do you guys think that the exchange policy, the public slap on the wrist, is enough?
No, obviously. He was charged criminally, and then the charges were dropped after the video came out, which is bizarre to me.
Oh, yeah?
Now that we have evidence, we better not charge.
The thing that I'm thinking of, and I'm by no means a Ray Rice supporter, but his means of income has now been ended mm-hmm. because of his criminal actions. An accountant, I don't know, a teacher, just a regular Joe, mm-hmm. if they had committed an act of similar egregiousness, would they have lost their source of income? Would they have been fired? I don't
right.
know.
Right. If a teacher hits his wife,
yeah.
would the school board intervene and say, we don't want you anymore?
This is a big question.
I think a teacher is even more problematic because they kind of are representing for children. But even if it was just somebody like, I don't know, a janitor like hits their wife, do we really care? Should what they do at home affect
They're not
they
celebrities.
Do?
Exactly. There's not going to be a public outcry for
Visibility
it.
Is the main thing. But moving forward, we're going to head to the next topic. All right, so we're going to talk about Adrian Peterson. All right, you guys fill me in on what happened here.
First of all, heavily related, because another fantasy selection of mine, but I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole other episode.
The true victim of all this sports crime has been Roger and his fantasy football team.
It hurts bad.
Both running backs, too.
I know, it hurts bad.
On September 12th, 2014, Peterson was indicted on child abuse charges, and he was subsequently deactivated from the Minnesota Vikings roster. The Vikings tried to bring him back a couple days later, but the NFL intervened and said that he would be required to remain away from all team activities.
The central issue is that he had disciplined his child by beating him with a stick. The viciousness of the response to Peterson came as a result of Ray Rice's issue having been just a few weeks before,
yeah,
and the NFL being in defense mode.
Parenting traditionally has been left to the parent, and we wouldn't traditionally intervene in that kind of scenario, but I think you're right, the NFL was reeling from the Ray Rice incident and wanted to promote this family-friendly brand. They can't have this kind of news getting out there.
Yeah, once again, we're talking about the visibility of these people. These people are on a world stage, and in certain cases, a lot of people think that they should be role models, that they should be representatives. So I think it's one of those things where the league themselves were thinking, do we want to have a person beating their child in the public eye? Because even if certain people might think that that's an okay thing to do, a parent is allowed to do what they want in a certain respect within reason. You were allowed to spank your kids still. That was a big Supreme Court decision, right?
I think it's in the criminal code, too. You're allowed to...
You're allowed to discipline your kids. Discipline your kids.
Once again, this is not legal advice.
Not legal advice.
Yes, not using a switch, though, I don't know. Just as an interesting aside, Peterson's first son actually died from an assault. A 2-year-old son. Not from him.
From his stepdad.
From his stepdad.
Yeah.
Speaking about visibility, do you think that because these guys are big players, people that you want to have in your fantasy football league, that they're just on the field pretty much every game, does that affect... The public perception.
You totally read my mind, because in fact, when the Ray Rice issue was hot, there were other players who were under the cloud for their own domestic issues and stuff like that, who were, for lack of a better word, secondary in popularity.
You don't get the public outcry with the third team kicker.
Exactly, exactly. As opposed to a leading running back or whatever. So I think your point is well taken, that their visibility and their star power and their selling power, because this is all about the cha-ching. Yeah. His selling power is really a big deal. Adrian Peterson is one of the biggest stars. Ray Rice as well, up until recently.
All right, so I'm going to move us on to our next topic here. Let's talk about Hope Solo and what's been happening recently, guys.
So we're switching from the NFL coverage to soccer coverage. Do you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, if this was a TV show, you'd see a big soccer ball now on your screen.
We're heading from football to football or whatever.
Oh, football.
So Hope Solo was arrested for domestic abuse for an assault on her sister and her sister's 17-year-old nephew. The theme of this show has been visibility. Obviously, women's soccer is not as popular a television sport as the NFL, but this Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson thing has led a lot of people to point out that this is some kind of double standard, that because we're not calling for Hope Solo's suspension from American soccer, we're not being fair.
They're saying that it's a gendered issue, I guess.
The legal question remains. I mean, assault is assault. Domestic violence is domestic violence. Why are we providing these different parameters and limitations to our discussion because it's a goalie or a running back or whoever?
Yeah.
I am not a role model. I'm not paid to be a role model.
You were saying that Charles Barkley said he's not a role model?
Yeah, Charles Barkley famously did a commercial in the early 90s where he began a Nike commercial by, I think, eating a donut because he's known for being a big boy.
He's a big boy.
The round mound of rebound for eating a donut and then saying, I am not a role model. And he got a lot of flack for that.
Parents should be role models.
I understand what the league's doing. He is a role model in a certain respect. I think with the Hope Solo thing as well, it does raise to light that these are people that are pretty much trained to be big, strong, and maybe trained to be more aggressive.
Just because I dunk a basketball doesn't mean I should raise your kids.
What's interesting to me is that in all three cases, the public outcry has come before any kind of trial. Like, they've all been charged, but they haven't been tried. The public gets to determine some kind of vague punishment for them, which might be a suspension or fines or losing their national team. It's a strange culture, I think.
Definitely, yeah.
Actually, on that topic, I'm going to move on to our next topic.
The sports show is hot today, folks.
Yeah, just going fast.
It's heating up.
So we're going to talk about Michael Vick, which is a little bit of an older topic, to be fair. But on that topic of public perception versus a trial, that was one where there was almost a little bit of both, right?
Mike Vick had the dogfighting ring, and obviously when that came to light, the public was not pleased. Probably everyone outside of Atlanta wanted him off the Atlanta Falcons, and many people in Atlanta as well. eventually he was tried and found guilty and served time in jail and came back and ended up playing with the Eagles when he came back.
So that's one of those times where I remember as it was happening, it was a huge story. Like me as somebody who's not at all on the radar of sports was fully on top of this story. Like I knew all about it probably because I'm a dog person. Like I was watching a game with my family, like even a few years later, and I saw him on the team again. And in my mind, I was thinking, that's really strange. I thought that person was dirt to the majority of football fans. But that's not the case. He went on to like keep playing for a number of years.
Let's be fair. I think he served his time. He did his community work. Yep. He has repented.
He did 6 years in jail, I think. He did some significant time.
Yeah, and I think he also did a ton of community service. He might still be involved in, like, you know, PETA or something.
Probably.
On animal awareness. But in the court of public opinion, he is still seen with these devil horns because of what he did. And you wonder to yourself sometimes, even though our justice system has taken care of him, for lack of a better word, will he ever be able to fully repay our general sense of what he should repay for what he did?
Well, it's one of those things where there's an athlete versus a normal everyday person. A normal everyday person, when they even serve their time, they're still always going to have a criminal record. They're still going to be perceived as that person that has gone to prison for a crime. And even if they have served their time, they don't have any intention of doing it again, they won't be doing it again, they'll still be seen as that person that could do it again.
And because they're in the public eye and the NFL is so mega, huge, enormous, gigantic, you know, it's a big deal. But then that's just one city. But what about a country?
So we're going to move on to our next topic. Let's talk about athletes that represent their country on the world stage, the Olympics. Let's talk about what's been happening with Michael Phelps over the past couple months.
Almost set for the 100 butterfly. Can Phelps do it again?
So Michael Phelps is an Olympic swimmer for the United States. He's won a ton of golds to the point
that the most decorated Olympian of all time.
Of all time, yeah.
And there was a few things a few years ago where there was suspicion or proof that he had been smoking weed during his certain of his events. But most recently, it's come out that he was drinking and driving. Now he's been taken off of the Olympic or the American team for a certain number of events. Do you guys think it matters if it's an Olympic athlete versus a team athlete?
I want to jump off first and say it absolutely matters. If you are at the level of national representation, and you have gone into a different stratosphere almost, because now the pool is not just those who, you know, apply for eligibility to the league or something. It's everyone in the country who is of, you know, the necessary age and talent level. And not just that, but you're playing on the biggest stage, the Olympics, especially in swimming. It doesn't get any bigger than that. It doesn't get even close to that. So for those privileges, for those, you know, levels of being able to hear the anthem, lift the flag, collect the medal, and contribute to your country in ways that are tremendously valued, you must be held to a higher standard. Now, that might sound a bit draconian, but if he's the most decorated athlete and he's a role model by desire or not, he has a higher standard to live up to.
Again, it's the same situation where he's been suspended for 6 months and the trial hasn't even happened yet. This court of public opinion, as you said, I don't think he's necessarily admitted to driving under the influence, but he's certainly being punished. He's lost his salary or his small stipend from USA Swimming, and yep, he's been suspended from the team. He won't be going to the World Championships, and that might impact whether or not he goes to Brazil in 2016 for the Olympics.
Yeah, it's one of those things where an Olympian, as much as they represent a country and they're paid to train by the country, a lot of what they get is through sponsorships. And although I'm not positive what the fallout will necessarily be for Michael Phelps, you can lose seven figures almost off of just an event that might not actually even be true. It just might just be one of those things where they get charged but doesn't actually go anywhere. I'm not saying that this will happen in this case, but it can happen. But I do agree, being a representative on a team, I don't think does not automatically mean that you are a role model. It does not mean that you should be treated as like a holier than thou person. It's your job.
Being an Olympian for your country,
that's different.
I think that's different.
I agree, it's different. Let's move forward to maybe something a little bit different. We're going to talk about a university athlete, somebody that's working for a team specifically in the States. So this is something that I was hearing about. There's actually the University of Texas, their team, the Longhorns. They got a new coach this year, and he wanted to have, quote unquote, a major culture change with football. One of his things was, if you don't follow these rules, this set of 11 rules, then you will be kicked off the team. And one of his major rules was no drugs, no stealing, no guns, treat women with respect.
It sounds like the law to me.
Yeah. Really, a lot of those make perfect sense. But he also goes on to say that you need to be not drinking, you need to be living in the same building, you need to be in bed by a certain time, you need to be studying in class. We're going to, like, test you, we're going to quiz you. This specific guy apparently cut 9 players from his team.
The coach,
for not following these rules, not living up to academic standards, not living up to moral standards.
I don't think a code of ethics or a code of conduct is that in common. What is in common in this case is how far this code of conduct goes. It's not, you will not show up late for practice. The code of conduct has a significant influence on the lives of these young athletes.
I think what it does, though, is it reflects an awareness of the kind of things that blight athletes, particularly football players, in the future. You know, the guns and the violence, and I can't remember the other ones you said. But, you know, maybe it's almost a prudent move by the coach to say, listen, I'm going to stamp this out of you forcefully, nice and early, so that you don't become the next, you know, hot story on TMZ. The thing that bothers me is that these kids are mainly on scholarships. And so what you're jeopardizing, I mean, yeah, they're there for football scholarships, but you're also jeopardizing their education, aren't you?
And again, it's the coach is the judge.
That's right.
If he thinks you're doing drugs, you're off the team. And I would imagine that there's not a huge amount of oversight for his trial system.
A lot of the things on this list you could qualify as drugs. Just what I was just saying, no drugs, no stealing, no guns. Those are all pretty much criminal sanctions. But there's other things in here like if a player misses a class or if a player misses three classes, they have to live on campus with the other people. Just things like that that could be grounds for getting them off the team. Well, we were talking about before this, another university, moving on to our next topic.
Brigham Young,
a Mormon university, right?
Mm-hmm. So Brigham Young, their basketball team, had a good player, Brandon Davies, suspended for violating the school's honor code. And it requires students to live a chaste and virtuous life, where students are required to abstain from alcohol, tobacco, tea, coffee, substance abuse. They're required to attend church regularly. Davies was suspended for having premarital sex with his girlfriend.
I was going to say, I would not be on this team because I'm literally drinking coffee right now.
What I mean, that's extreme.
It goes much, much further than that Texas code of ethics. Now, he didn't lose his scholarship. He was suspended for the rest of the season, but still a very harsh sanction in a sport for something that is well within the law to do.
Well, this is one of those things where all of these scenarios, when they're being reprimanded, these are private. A team is a private place, and a university, to a certain extent, you could argue, has like their own things that they can say is good or not good. But should it? Really, having premarital sex in the modern age, it doesn't affect how you play. It's one of the major things.
But when you go to this school, you agree to this code.
Yeah, it's just going to say, like, by attending Brigham Young, you're aware of the no tea, no coffee policy, which baffles me.
How did they survive?
Exactly. University. No coffee. Ah. A lot of Red Bull.
Oh, I guess so. Just taking caffeine pills everywhere you go.
Exactly.
I'm not sure that's honestly adhering to the spirit of the code, but maybe that's a
budding lawyer, though.
A workaround,
If you're popping the Red Bull, that's a budding lawyer right there.
All right, but moving forward, speaking on moral but not necessarily illegal acts, Tiger Woods a few years ago.
Tiger, you've been a master of control your entire life. How did things get so out of control?
Going against your core values.
So if you guys don't know, Tiger Woods is a golf player, if you've been living under a rock, because even I know that. A few years ago, it came out that he was cheating on his wife.
His beautiful, beautiful wife. So Tiger Woods, on the PGA Tour, lost tons of sponsorship dollars when it came out that he was engaging in extramarital relations. And this is, again, something not illegal, but the public outcry ended up really punishing this guy for his actions.
Well, let me just be clear. Was there any legal consequence at all that he faced?
They might have gone through divorce proceedings, but that's civil. It's not criminal.
Yeah, they got divorced, and it was obviously a huge settlement because Tiger Woods is worth a lot of money. But there was nothing illegal going on. It was just that he was having
As a fan, I could feel almost like he just went down the hatch in every single way. I almost created a fantasy that he has been legally persecuted because he's a bad guy.
Golf is definitely one of those things where your state of mind affects the game a lot.
Of course.
Like, you can have a bad day just mentally and it will screw up your game.
And he was punished severely for something that isn't illegal and people kind of look down on.
So these are all what we've been talking about so far. These are things that happen off the field that may or may not affect on-field play. Before we go, I want to talk about a few different things of on-field crime. There's a lot of things that will affect your game that are illegal, either within the confines of the rules of the game or within maybe even criminal sense. So doping, taking some steroids, betting against yourself and crimes committed within the rules of the sport. So that's pretty much just like maybe going overboard with how you attack somebody on like the field of play, maybe even bringing a weapon onto a rugby field. Wouldn't happen. But these are things where these are crimes that would affect the game and if they should be treated differently.
And I just want to add to our discussion is also throwing games and the whole idea of match fixing or, you know, scoring an own goal or something. There are all sorts of different ways to do it. I can't really think of them now.
Typically, when we do see athletes charged for crimes that they have purportedly committed, it's all on the periphery. So when you see a baseball player who has doped, they're not getting charged necessarily for doping. There were a few of them that got charged for lying to Congress, got like perjury charges for saying, I've never done steroids, and then it comes out, well, you did steroids.
Rafael Palmeiro is an image that just sticks in my head.
Pointing the finger right at the
exactly. I did not do that. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And obviously Lance Armstrong is a guy who has faced some criminal charges, but they're not related to him cheating, but rather mostly to the idea that he's lied to certain institutions and bodies.
Yeah, because Lance Armstrong, didn't they strip him of all his previous wins, and then they...
Yeah, just like mass shaming.
Yeah, I was going to say the biggest problem with that was the way the Livestrong campaign almost like fell out because of it, which was something that was helping a lot of people. It was raising a ton of money. And then because of this thing that was coming out that I think a lot of people would agree you were saying before the show, that a lot of these cyclists were doping. A lot of these cyclists were using steroids. They were using performance-enhancing drugs. But because he is the most well-known, he's a household name, to kind of strip him of these things, put him in a criminal court and in the public perception court, it's kind of, like, complicated.
But I can see the criminal aspect here a lot. Maybe, again, I'm a biased sports fan. But if I'm a fan watching the great home run race of 2000-whatever between Maguire and Sosa, where they were... apparently just doping as much as they possibly could.
Sosa was using corked bats.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Had that
a double cheat.
Once a cheater, always a cheater. Well, whatever. The point is, if I'm watching that, if I'm invested in that emotionally and possibly financially, maybe I have...
Today more than ever.
Yeah.
Financially, yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot riding on this, and for you to tell me, you know, down the line that all that was not a farce, but... tainted and questionable is very, very distressing to me, and I can see the criminal justification because this is their profession. This is them, you know, this is a tax agent cheating on your taxes or a medical doctor telling you you're not sick when you are. This is you not doing your job effectively and within the rules, isn't it?
To a certain extent. It's one of those things where, let's say you are a business owner and the 10 businesses down the street are all doing the same kind of trick in order to save a little bit of money. Maybe they're putting... it's going to be a bad example, a little bit of sawdust into their like ground beef.
Sure.
Just like cut costs. If you start doing that, but you're the most visible company doing it, you're going to be the first to be reprimanded. But just talking about other things that were happening on the courts, do you think it's escaping right now, the NHL player that aggressively hit the other player?
Todd Bertuzzi and Marty McSorley are both in the last, I guess, 10 or 15 years. Todd Bertuzzi punching Steve Moore from behind, a bit of a sucker punch. They've settled that lawsuit 10 years later. And before that, we had Marty McSorley striking Donald Brashear in the head with a hockey stick, a lumberjack swing of his hockey stick, and knocking Brashear out.
Yeah, so doping and aggressive plays like that are pretty different, but they're both times where you're doing something against the rules in order to really make sure that the games are either going to go well or just literally letting your emotions get the best of you in maybe those situations.
Yeah, and I mean, the emotional aspect obviously is super aggressive in the case of, you know, slashing someone's ACL or, you know, going after them with a stick or whatever the case may be. But what about those who are, like, deliberately conniving, you know, who are looking to throw a game, who score an own goal on purpose, who miss a defensive assignment?
That is a little bit different than some of the things we've been talking about, because when you throw a game or bet against your own team with some kind of special knowledge, that is a crime. You're committing fraud. And if you're caught, you'll presumably be punished.
But I struggle with this, too, because, okay, I don't play hockey. But I'm playing hockey. I'm the defender. And a guy's coming at me at full pace. Mm-hmm. And I miss him. I miss him. And I might say I tried my best. And you might say, no, you didn't, because, you know, there's no way you should have missed that.
But when I see that you have money bet against yourself and you missed, I say, that looks like you missed on purpose.
Yeah, unfortunately, in that case, the evidence they're going to be looking at is the money on the check, not the check on the boards.
A point I did want to come back to, is Daniel's doing a little dance in the studio for those of you listening at home. Yeah,
check.
I made that pun on the fly, so I was pretty proud of myself.
Let's say that you've put $100 down on a game,
mm-hmm.
and you lose your $100, and it comes out that a player on the opposition team has been cheating, has been drinking human growth hormone at dinner every night,
right?
And had a huge game, and your team lost. You lost $100. Should you have some kind of remedy through the court system to say, this guy cost me a lot of money, it's not within the rules, this isn't what I was betting on. I was betting on an honest game of football, let's say, and now I've basically fraudulently lost my money.
I feel the door, the cover of Pandora's box just opening slowly when you say that, because, holy jeez.
That is a slippery slope, though, where you could say, I was betting on an honest game of something, and you could argue very few times, will there be an honest game of something?
I mean, all these leagues, all the top sports leagues are presenting themselves as games that are happening honestly. They, mm-hmm. you know...
Yeah, that is a really slippery slope, but I can see the argument, at least. I mean, I don't know if it'll fly, but that is really, really compelling.
Had we been some kind of law students, we might have done some research on this.
Yes.
Discovered if anybody had ever tried to recover the money for a game like this.
Good thing that we're not lawyers. We're just law students.
I feel like, not just like off the top of my head, not knowing about this, I feel like if you're doing a non-private or a private betting ring within some kind of a casino or something, they would probably have some sort of provision when you sign up for the bet that's just like, you agree that no matter what happens to this bet, you will accept your bet. It's kind of like if there's an act of God on the in a horse race, the betting doesn't get affected.
But as you know, in contracts, there's all kinds of provisions that can be written down that don't necessarily have effect. And is that
exactly.
Maybe that's a provision that we don't want to uphold in a situation when there's been obvious cheating.
Yeah, yep. The horse race one, what if you pump the horse full of whatever growth hormone is for horses?
Horse. It could still be HGH.
It could be still
Horse growth hormone. Yeah. Hard to say.
Just jockeys like, hitting the other horses and stuff as well. This could be bad.
You just go from sea biscuit to like sea cookie. Just flying, you know? And
maybe jockey has discovered some sort of secret diet pill to make himself even smaller.
Like super. I think it's hard for them to get any smaller. As small as it could be.
He has a shrink ray at home.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, so I hope that we kind of like sparked your interest on these other things. We talked about a lot of stuff today, but in general, we're talking about double standards with athletes, between athletes and a normal person, double standards between an athlete on a team, maybe one who's self-represented like Tiger Woods, maybe someone who's acting in a part of a country with like Michael Phelps, or on a part of a school team. What are the different things that we should be thinking about when they kind of the next big public outcry comes out? Should we think like maybe should they be judged in the public sphere or maybe through a criminal sanction or both? Why is it?
And, like, we all love sports. Even if you're not a sports fan, like a fanatic, rather, you still are aware of it. You can't escape it. It's just one of those things. So when the law intersects with sports and these big social issues like domestic violence and whatever start to, you know, rear their head in these fun arenas that are meant to be relaxing and entertaining, it's troubling.
Yeah. Well, it's a big thing with any celebrity culture right now, because you could argue sports is a celebrity culture when, like, Chris Brown comes out, like, attacking Rihanna. It's something that like brings these social issues that are maybe something that every individual can't, like could deal with, puts it on a public stage, maybe talk about assaulter versus assaultee, all those kind of like jazz.
Right.
Yeah. This has been Pro Bono Radio. This has been Roger, Austin, and Daniel. This is CFRC 101.9. Once again, we are legal students. This is not legal advice. And we will see you next week.
The sports show
is over.
Queen's University's very own law students bring you the whimsical side of the law. Such as, can your own rap lyrics be used as evidence against you?
I cut her expletive neck with a sword, and now I'm sitting in a cell staring at four walls.
When was the rap written?
Literally after he did the act, but before he went to jail, so...
So, murder rap prison?
Yes, murder rap prison, yes.
All right.
Is the beer store breaking the law?
Put beer back in the beer bongs
she
of the...
She means hands. She means hands. Yeah, put beer back in the hands of the people that want to drink it.
What if Canada's justice system was more like Game of Thrones?
In Westeros, you're immediately dismembered by the Hound if you scare Joffrey.
I enjoy the arbitrariness of the Hound's judicial activism.
Pro Bono Radio, a marriage of thought-provoking legal issues and satire. Every Thursday morning at 11:30.